It's time now for Inside Information for Women with your host, Dr. Yvonne Thornton, M.D. Dr. Thornton is a preeminent double board certified authority in obstetrics and gynecology, as well as the author of the critically acclaimed best-selling memoirs, The Ditch Digger's Daughters and Something to Prove. Stay with us for the next hour as Dr. Thornton addresses the issues that affect all women and those who love them. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Thornton, you can call the show toll-free at 1-800-962-1160. That's 1-800-962-1160. Now, here's your host for Inside Information for Women, Dr. Yvonne Thornton, M.D.
Wow, welcome. It's almost the end of August. Everybody's getting ready for school. It's just wonderful. But thank you for joining me for this 1 hour each Thursday at Inside Information for Women. And I'm your host, Dr. Thornton. I'm an OBGYN. And before we go further, I just want to thank Ray Edel of the Bergen Record for mentioning my radio program all the listeners that may be listening in thanks to that little blurb in the Bergen Record last week. With that said, the topic today is for mature audiences, and it may offend some listeners, but I hope it will enlighten others. So if there are any children in the listening audience, perhaps they need to occupy themselves with something else in another room. Because the topic today will be about abortion, about rape, about women's reproductive rights and the woman's right to choose and the legislative attempts to curtail those rights. So I'll give you a few seconds to get everybody out of the room that needs to get out of the room, and we're going to talk about some serious topics that affects women's health, the core of her being that differentiates us from the guys, which is her uterus, her ovaries, and all that reproductive stuff that we care about, and it's very important for us to procreate. Now, back in February, there was a hearing chaired by Daryl Issa, a Republican, and I try not to make this Republican or Democrat. I try to make this show apolitical, but sometimes you just have to come to your own conclusions, given the facts, and given a common sense. Sometimes common sense is not so common, but I want to give you the facts, and you make up your own mind with respect about what is right and what is not so right or what is wrong. But back in February, there was a panel which was convened by the chair, Daryl Issa, and it was the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform hearing on the contraceptive coverage rule, and it was an all-male panel with no women representatives, prompting some women members of Congress to just walk out of the hearing in protest. And Representative Issa couldn't understand why all the women could just walk out. And, you know, sometimes it's like teaching calculus to pigeons. They just don't understand. Some men just don't understand. But Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, a Democrat of New York, she promised that the Democratic women senators will continue to stand up against this misogynism and exclusion when it comes to representing our reproductive rights. And she said, quote unquote, "If our Republican colleagues want to continue to take this issue head on, we will stand here as often as is necessary and draw a line in the sand that the Senate, the women of the Senate specifically, will continue to oppose these attacks on women's rights and women's health care." That was back in February. Well, lo and behold, you know, people were up in arms, all men on a panel trying to make decisions about contraceptive care, which we thought that topic was long gone. But around the middle of August, about 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, there was something else in the news. And I'm going to play you a clip. And this is from a clip of Representative Todd Akin, on a television clip from KTVI TV, and this is what he said.
You've been pro-life your entire career.
Yeah.
You've been very staunchly pro-life.
Yeah.
Are there any circumstances in your mind in which an abortion should be legal?
Well, I think sometimes people talk about life of the mother as a situation, Charles. And in my sense is that one of the foundational things America is built on is a respect for life. And so I would say you optimize life. So, for instance, a woman has a tubal pregnancy or something. Well, technically, by my understanding, life begins at conception. So you've technically had conception, but the child doesn't have a chance and will soon kill the mother. Okay, so I would say in those kinds of situations, you try to optimize life.
If an abortion could be considered in a case of, say, a tubal pregnancy or something like that, what about in the case of rape? Should it be legal or not?
Well, you know, people always want to try and make that as one of those things. Well, how do you slice this particularly mm-hmm. tough sort of ethical question? It seems to me, first of all, from what I understand from doctors, that's really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. But let's assume that maybe that didn't mm-hmm. work or something. You know, I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be in the rapist and not attacking the child.
Would you believe that? This is 2012. Well, if it's a legitimate rape, well, you know, the whole body just shuts that whole thing down. And this is a man talking about the female reproductive system. He talks about it with such ease and conviction as if he knows what he's talking about. He has no uterus. He has no ovaries. He has no fallopian tubes. He has no vagina. But yet, he's going to talk about rape, and he's going to talk about abortion. And this is what bothers me. This really gets my back up when men who are totally ignorant of the whole process, and he's not just any sort of man. He is a representative. He is a congressman. He writes laws. He signs laws into bills that really govern how we act in a society. So he has power. And this man, Todd Akin, is telling this interviewer with such ease, well, you know, if it's a legitimate rape, in other words, if it's not a legitimate rape and a woman said that she was raped, she would not be pregnant. So the fact that she is pregnant is not, it was not a legitimate rape. So what she's saying, pregnancy does not come about if it's a legitimate rape. That word legitimate, rape is rape. And let's go back to the definition of rape, and I looked this up. It said, rape is forcible penetration of another person. Rape is a crime. But in that little segment, you heard that this Todd Akin was saying, from what I understand from doctors. Well, the only doctor that espoused this, I wouldn't even call pseudoscience because that's giving it credibility as it's a science. It's a concept, it's a statement. Well, that doctor is called John C. Wilkie. He's the only one. The man is almost 90 years of age. He received his MD degree a year after I was born in 1948. He's not an obstetrician. He's a general practitioner with obstetrical training and is the former president of the National Right to Life Committee. And he is a proponent, and he wrote a book as well as a statement in 1999. And let me read you what his article of 1999 said about rape. It said, this is a traumatic thing. She's the woman, shall we say. She's uptight. Dr. Wilkie said of a woman being raped, adding, she is frightened, tight, and so on. And sperm, if deposited in her vagina, are less likely to be able to fertilize, and the tubes are spastic. Well, the leading experts dismiss this logic, but there are no words for this, says a professor at Harvard. There are no words for this. It's just nuts, says Dr. Michael Green. And Dr. David Grimes says, to suggest that there's some biological reason why women couldn't get pregnant during rape is absurd. Now, again, we went to a study of the American Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. It was back in 1996, and they basically published a study stating about how many pregnancies are the result of rape. And the result of rape in this study, which was peer-reviewed in a journal, 32,000 pregnancies from rape in the United States each year. There are 32,000 pregnancies from rape each year. And the pregnancy rate of 5% per rape among victims in the reproductive age. Some people say it's 1 in 15. This study said 1 in 20. But Representative Todd Akin, who is he? Who is Todd Akin? Todd Akin is the son, he was born in New York City. You'd think he'd be a little more egalitarian and world-like, but no, he was born in New York City, but he moved to St. Louis and he went to college. This is an educated man. He got his degree in management engineering, and in 1984, I think this is it, he earned a Master of Divinity degree from Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. This man is married, but he has no children. He has no children. He has no daughters to understand the anguish if this could happen to her. But he has no children. And believe it or not, he sits on the House Committee on Science and Technology. This man sits on a committee of science and technology. Now, I want to go into a little bit later about being a gynecologist and being firsthand on the scene of a woman who has been raped in my training years and being called to the emergency room. But remember, you are listening to me. I'm Dr. Thornton, OBGYN, and this is Inside Information for Women. And when we come back, I'll let you know with regard to the reality of a woman who has been raped.
Thank you for listening to Inside Information for Women on WVNJ. If you'd like to know more about your host, Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD, please visit her website, drthornton.com. That's DrThornton. On her website, Dr. Thornton shares valuable information and research on women's health issues. Plus, you can order your copy of her best-selling books and find out about upcoming speaking engagements and media appearances. While you're there, be sure to click the link for Dr. Thornton's blog, Paging Dr. Thornton. And remember, if you miss a program or you'd like to hear a show again, you can request a copy from Dr. Thornton at her website. That's drthornton.com. DrThornton. Dr. Yvonne Thornton, your host for Inside Information for Women, is also the national best-selling author of the critically acclaimed memoir, The Ditch Digger's Daughters. The Ditch Digger's Daughters, a family biography co-authored by Joe Kuder, is a tribute to Dr. Thornton's parents that follows her journey from the tenements of East Harlem to the footlights of the Apollo Theater to the halls of an Ivy League medical school. Since first being published in 1995, The Ditch Digger's Daughters has been featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show, translated into 19 languages, and made into an award-winning movie. The New York Times calls it inspirational. The Washington Post says the book serves as a corrective to those who have underestimated the strength of the values that have historically enabled black families to survive and even thrive. And the Wall Street Journal says Dr. Thornton's story shows that a family that stays together, that holds fast to traditional values, can make a quantum leap up the social mobility scale in a single generation. You can purchase The Ditch Digger's Daughters on Amazon.com. And be sure to look for Dr. Thornton's newest memoir, Something to Prove, which continues Dr. Thornton's journey as a doctor, wife, and mother who must face the challenges of a thriving medical career while managing a home and raising children. The Ditch Digger's Daughters and Something to Prove, available now on Amazon.com.
Every year, domestic violence affects 5 million Americans. While bruises heal, broken teeth won't. The American Academy of Cosmetic Dentistry's Give Back a Smile program provides free cosmetic dentistry to survivors of domestic abuse. Giving back smiles can give back self-confidence and restart lives. For information, call 1-800-773-4227. or visit our website at www.givebackasmile.com.
This is Inside Information for Women with Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD. If you've got a question or comment for Dr. Thornton, you can call her now, toll-free, 1-800-962-1160. That's 1-800-962-1160. Now, back to your host, here's Dr. Thornton.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me today on this subject that's very serious and sometimes very private, and people don't talk about it because of the nature of it. So again, if there are any children in the room, let them play outside, or this is like nice sunny day. But we're talking about rape, abortion, women's reproductive rights, and the legislation that are trying to curtail these rights. Before we left on commercial break, we were talking about Todd Akin, about a legitimate rape, and if she is legitimately raped, then she wouldn't become pregnant. I also gave you the definition of what rape is, and the forcible penetration of another person. As a gynecological resident in OBGYN at Roosevelt Hospital, we were called many times in order to be the physician responsible for taking care of these victims of rape. And let me tell you, it is not as cavalier as the congressman would lead one to believe. First, the young lady, it's usually a young woman, and not to say that men are not raped, but in this case, usually a young woman who's been betrayed. She thought of her partner, of the person that she cared about, that would respect her, but at the end, he did not. And she can either be beaten and brutally, physically assaulted, as well as being raped. We have our rape kits. It has the DNA. In those days, they didn't have too much DNA. They basically were talking about any signs of rape. Very difficult to find signs of rape with respect, unless it's very vicious and traumatic, causing swelling and tearing of the genitalia. But outside of that, it's very difficult. But what is really torn apart is the female psyche, is the victim's psyche, is her emotional status. And one can't even imagine. If you can imagine, just think, you've just been raped. Your friend just say, let's go to the emergency room. The patient goes to the emergency room. We have special rooms for these young ladies. And then in the old days, when the majority of OBGYNs were male, then she was then examined by a male. She was examined by a male gynecologist. We try in our profession to be very sensitive to the needs of rape victims, and we either have a nurse practitioner, if the female gynecologist is busy, or a female obstetrician gynecologist to come down to the emergency room. Once there, it's very technical, it's very scientific and clinical to examine the patient, but psychologically and emotionally, she's a mess. She's a total mess. And after a mess, meaning that she's disoriented. How could this happen to me? I'm sure that people are going to blame me. I didn't do anything. He said I let him on. It goes on and on and on. And you have to sit there patiently to listen to her sobs and her cries of just being betrayed. Following that, after the evaluation, the clinical evaluation, then, because she's in the emergency room and there's a nurses, the concern is the social worker may be called, that she has to talk to a police officer. Because as I said before in the beginning, at the top of the program, that rape is a crime. Rape is a crime. And we'll talk about Representative Akin's response with, well, there should be some punishment. He quote unquote, there should be some punishment for the rapist. Some punishment ought to be for the rapist, but not attacking the child. Some punishment? This is a person who raped another human being. And if there is any punishment other than hell, then he should get it. But some punishment, as if it were just lackadaisical. But in a real situation, now this patient has to talk to a police officer. And the police officer is usually male. They try to get female officers now in order to take her her history, in order to take her her statement, but again, she has to relive the thing all over again. And again, emotionally, it's so traumatic, it's unbelievable. But some women don't even go that far. They say, I'm not going to talk to any police officer, I'm leaving. So that's why rape really is underreported, because of the psychological, emotional upheaval that many women have to go through, plus repeating it over and over again to then a police officer or an officer of the law who may be male and may not understand. If she goes that far, if she proceeds to that and she's courageous enough to do that, then later on she has to present her case before a judge. She has to relive that whole horrible night again. And usually the judge, most oftentimes, may be another male. So again, this rape has repercussions that one cannot count. It's myriad. And with respect to this violation of another person, it goes on with regard to trying to get her back, her life back to where it once was. Her innocence is gone. And trying to reestablish a relationship with another male is very, very difficult. Again, some courageous women do, some women don't. Some women start gaining an enormous amount of weight, so they quote unquote can make themselves unattractive. And this is the idea of the burkas in other countries. Well, women have to wear this burka so they're not attracted to men. My goodness. I mean, the fact of the matter is women have to kind of change their lifestyle so they're quote unquote not attractive to men, so they won't be raped. This is totally unbelievable. And it all falls on the woman. Why? Because she's the one that carries the child. Now, for those of you who agree with me, who don't agree with me, please give me a call at 1-800-962-1160. This is WVNJ. I'm Dr. Thornton. This is the show is Inside Information for Women. And if you agree with me, you don't agree with me, please give me a call, 1-800-962-1160. I'd like to hear from those of you in the listening audience, males and females, women, and men alike, because this is a very touchy subject, but it's very important because there's been some insidious legislation which is trying to take back the rights of women's reproductive health. So again, I've told you exactly what's going on with respect to the actual rape, and it's not funny. It's not casual, and it shouldn't be treated with casualness. And for those men who do not have a uterus, who do not have the possibility of carrying a child of a rapist, 32,000 women are pregnant because of these rape attacks, then they should just be quiet. They should just be quiet and defer to someone else. So again, I did some research, and we're talking about rape statistics. Every 45 seconds, someone in the United States is sexually assaulted. One out of every seven women currently in college has been raped. However, 9 out of 10 women raped on campus never tell anyone about the rape. So again, it is a quietly held secret. Young co-eds are raped on campus. They don't have the facilities or the mechanism in order to make this assault a little easier on the rape victim. So consequently, 9 out of 10 of these women never tell anyone that they've been raped. Again, on the other side, 1 out of 10 men is raped in his lifetime. More than 61.5%, 61.5, not 62, of rapes are never reported to law enforcement. That's almost two-thirds of rapes are never reported to law enforcement. And if you can remember what I just told you about the true rape victim that I've been taking care of when I was a resident, you can understand. 1 in 15 rape victims contract a sexually transmitted disease, gonorrhea, herpes, chlamydia, HIV, as a result of being raped. 1 in 15 rape victims become pregnant as a result of being raped. And the United States, listen to this, the United States has the world's highest rape rate of all countries that publish such data, 13 times higher than England and more than 20 times higher than Japan. An American woman is 10 times more likely to be raped than to die in a car crash. And 61% of rape victims are females under the age of 18. So all these statistics, what does that mean? It really doesn't mean anything. Someone is having the statistics, but you know that it's very common, hopefully after listening to these statistics, and that it is very, very personal, and it's private, and people don't want to talk about it. And that's why it's very important for everybody to understand the pain that's associated, not just physically, but mentally, with rape. So again, we were talking about rape, and for those rape victims who become pregnant, then the concern is about abortion. Should she think about abortion? Is she going to carry this this rapist's child to term? Is the government going to force her to carry this rapist child to term? And that leads me to more legislative bills that are being passed. Our up-and-coming Republican vice presidential candidate had placed in a bill, H.R. 3, about forcible rape. That's a redundancy. Rape is rape. A forcible rape. And we'll talk about this House of Representatives Bill 3 later on, but it did not pass with that word forcible. He had to remove forcible rape, and then, believe it or not, that bill passed. We'll talk about that a little later. But before that, let's talk about abortion and pregnancy. Abortion is the termination of pregnancy by removal or the expulsion of from the uterus of a fetus or an embryo prior to its viability. Now, people will say, you know, I had a miscarriage. Well, believe it or not, that's an abortion. And the lay people want to mollify it and say, well, you know, she had a miscarriage. No, she had an abortion. The term is a spontaneous abortion. That is equal to a miscarriage. However, if it's not spontaneous abortion, which is equal to miscarriage and is more easy to understand and for people to accept, the induced abortion is what most people are talking about. An induced abortion is when there's an instrument or some other, or we call abortifacient, which causes the expulsion from the uterus of a fetus or an embryo. And abortion, when induced in the developed world in accordance with local law, is among the safest procedures in medicine. It sounds as if I'm becoming heretical when I say that, but it is. When done properly, an induced abortion is among the safest procedures in medicine. However, over 70,000 maternal deaths result from unsafe abortions and 5 million disabilities around the globe each year. There's an estimated 44 million abortions are performed globally, with slightly under half of these performed unsafely. So you have 22 million women having safe terminations of pregnancy or abortion, and the other half, unfortunately, have to withstand the consequences and the complications associated with an unsafe abortion. And even though the incidence of abortion has stabilized in recent years, but it has previously spent decades declining because we've had family planning centers and because we've had contraceptive services being increased, and it's become safe. But 40% of the world's women have access to induced abortions. Now, once I keep saying abortion, not to desensitize you, but understand that it is a process, and we have to understand it as it is. It's an abortion. We're going to have a commercial break right now, and when we come back, we'll talk to you about legislation with respect to abortion.
Jeff Santos here. Very excited to be on The Voice, 1160 WVMJ. We're on 3 to 6 p.m. The Jeff Santos Show is rebuilding America. We're talking about real solutions for rebuilding our great country together, folks. We want you to be part of it. So give us a call at 866-338-9663. Email me at any time, jeff@revolutionboston.com. Learn more on our website, revolutionradionetwork.com. The Jeff Santos Show, rebuilding America, weekdays 3 to 6, right here on The Voice, 1160 WVMJ.
If you're a woman with questions about your body and your health, the answers you're looking for can all be found in one definitive health guide written by Dr. Thornton. Inside Information for Women, Answers to the Mysteries of the Female Body and Her Health. The book Inside Information for Women combines the wisdom gained from over 35 years of practice with Dr. Thornton's own personal experiences. It's an essential resource for women of all ages who desire a deeper understanding of how their bodies work. Using a candid, enlightening approach and accessible language, along with real-life stories of women, Inside Information for Women provides essential information that is found nowhere else. This book empowers all women to become partners, not just patients, in the pursuit and maintenance of their optimum health. Inside Information for Women, soon to be released in paperback, is available now at Amazon.com.
It started out like a totally normal day.
I love you.
I mean, I guess I was a little sweaty, and I was definitely sore. I thought I had gas. Turns out, I was having a heart attack. Heart disease is the number one killer of American women. So now I take care of myself and tell the other women in my life to do the same. Make it your mission to save your life and the lives of the women you love. Find out more from the American Heart Association at GoRedForWomen.org.
This is Inside Information for Women with Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD. If you've got a question or comment for Dr. Thornton, you can call her now, toll-free, 1-800-962-1160. That's 1-800-962-1160. Now, back to your host, here's Dr. Thornton.
Welcome back, welcome back. Today we're talking about a little serious, but subject that people usually don't talk about. It's about women's reproductive rights, about abortion, about rape. This is based and prompted by a representative from Missouri, Todd Akin, talking about legitimate rape. And if a woman was legitimately raped, that her whole body would shut that process down and she wouldn't become pregnant. But hopefully if you've been listening over the last half an hour, you'll understand that that is a hogwash and a total nonsense. Before we went on to the commercial break, we were talking about abortion and the definition of abortion, which is basically the termination of pregnancy. Now, we say termination of pregnancy. It's important to understand terminology. Pregnancy is not a fertilized egg, which is many people and many legislators will say life begins at conception, at fertilization. Well, let me tell you, as a gynecologist, as a professor in OBGYN, that a fertilized egg is not a pregnancy. A fertilized egg starts out as a zygote, male, female, and we'll talk about that a little later too, and it forms a one-cell zygote, which is a different person. That little cell will in and of itself start to divide. It stays there for about 4 or 5 days in the female abdomen, then it rolls back down in the female fallopian tube, then it rolls back down and it finds its nice cushy place inside the uterus, the uterine lining. And once that fertilized egg, blastocyst, morula, the terminology is not important, but once that fertilized egg is then planted in the mother's uterus and starts to proliferate, what we call trophoblasts, in the beginning of a placenta, then that's the pregnancy. That is a pregnancy. Before that, it's just a fertilized egg. So it's important to know the differentiation between a fertilized egg and a pregnancy. With that said, before the break, as I said before, we were talking about abortion. Abortion is basically the termination of a pregnancy by the removal or expulsion, from the uterus of a fetus or an embryo. A fetus starts at 8 weeks, and an embryo is about from the time of conception until about 8 weeks of gestation. Don't want to get all involved with the terminology, but it's important to know that it's the woman, not the man, who becomes pregnant. It's the woman, repeat, not the man, who becomes pregnant. So why are we having these legislators dictate what we as women can or cannot do? We understand as if we were idiots, as if we had no heart, as if we were calculating women to try to get rid of these pregnancies, heartless women. any time that I found in my 37 years of being a gynecologist is that when that pregnancy test is positive, that that woman who used to be, you know, carefree and just go lightly, it's just wonderful, is very serious. She knows she's carrying a life. Now she has to figure out what to do. The guy who impregnated her just basically puts on a shirt and tie and walks away. The woman who is impregnated now has another life to worry about. It impacts upon her life. It's a very, very serious decision, and it shouldn't be dictated really by legislation, but it is. Back in 1973, Roe versus Wade was Roe versus Wade decision was passed by the Supreme Court. 1973 is when I graduated from medical school. May. Prior to that, I was a fourth year extern, as they call them, and I was also doing a rotation in OBGYN. 6 months before that decision, there was a ward filled with septic abortions. Women who tried to do their own at-home abortions, they were dying. They were dying of sepsis, of infection, overwhelming infection. And we had to have them in the hospital to give them antibiotics to try to save their lives. But many of these women died due to illegal, unsafe abortions. That was just basically before I graduated in 1972. 6 months later, when I did graduate in May of 73, and this decision came down from the Supreme Court, January of 73, there weren't any more septic abortion wards. I'm Dr. Thornton. This is Inside Information for Women, and we're talking about abortion and rape today. If you have questions, concerns, or whether you agree with me or don't agree with me, give me a call at 1-800-962-1160. But again, this is a serious deal when it comes to your body, a woman's body, of whether or not she's going to continue or not continue a life. And it is not done cavalierly. It's not done capriciously. It is done with very serious thought. So for a man who has no idea of what's going on to legislate what a woman can and cannot do, to me, is ludicrous. The concerns with respect to the Roe versus Wade decision was based upon Jerry Santoro, G-E-R-R-I-S-A-N-T-O-R-O, Jerry Santoro. This was the critical case. She underwent tried to self-abort, and she died in a motel room. And her photograph of her being on her knees, naked and kneeling, and collapsed upon the floor with a bloody towel between her legs, this was the photograph that was published in Ms. Magazine and became the symbol for pro-choice. I'm sure people said, well, she deserved it. She shouldn't have done that. But it's important that she, too, is alive. She, too, has her life to live, as well as she was the mother of several children. But let's get back to legislation. There were two House bills in Congress. Remember, the first time Congress congregated after their election was January 5th, 2011. January 5th, 2011 was the first day of the 112th Congress. And remember, on January 7th, they submitted this bill, H.R. 212, Sanctity of Human Life. Now, in this bill, Sanctity of Human Life, it goes on to say with regard to declaration, which I'll read for you. Section 2 of this Sanctity of Human Life Act, which was submitted by Mr. Brom, a Republican representative from Georgia, it had 54 sponsors. And one of them was with regard to Ryan, Paul Ryan, our vice presidential candidate. The declaration of this H.R. bill states, 1, the Congress declares that the right to life guaranteed by the Constitution is vested in each human being and is the paramount and most fundamental right of a person. And B, the life of each human being begins at fertilization, cloning, or its functional equivalent. It goes on to say about its definitions in this bill that, 1, the purposes of this act, fertilization, this act defines fertilization as, the term fertilization means the process of a human spermatozoan, from the male, penetrating the cell membrane of a human oocyte of a female to create a human zygote. As far as I can read this, the spermatozoan is like a little rapist already, and he has tendencies. So the spermatozoan is penetrating the cell membrane of a human oocyte to create a human zygote, a one-celled human embryo, which is a new, unique human being. And that was the Sanctity of Human Life Act. It was sponsored by 54 sponsors, January 7th, 2011. It was being voted on, has not been voted on yet. It has not been passed as yet. However, H.R. 3, which is an anti-abortion bill. Let's get back to the Sanctity of Human Life Act that I just spoke to you about. The Dominican Republic has a similar act, a Sanctity of Human Right Act, and it's Article 37 of the Dominican Constitution. Quote unquote, it states, "The right to life is inviolable from the moment of conception until death. Dominican courts have interpreted this as a strict mandate against abortion." So you're saying, so what? What's the big deal? And the big deal is, let's put it applying applicability to a human being. In August, there was a teen, a Dominican teen. She's 16 years of age, and she died of complications of leukemia. Why did she die? This was a young woman who was forced to wait nearly 3 weeks to begin chemotherapy to treat her disease, as hospital officials initially refused to treat her, fearing it would terminate her pregnancy, because they felt that the growing fetus was more important than this mother's 16-year-old mother's life. And while the doctors refused to treat her and refused to allow the girl to be treated, they made her undergo ultrasounds to show that the baby was healthy and for her to see it moving. Chemotherapy was finally begun at the end of the first trimester of pregnancy, at which time the patient bled and bled and bled. She had hemorrhage, uncontrolled, and still the doctors tried to control it, and the pregnancy was terminated. And the advocates report for this patient, she says she subsequently miscarried the pregnancy, but then again, she hemorrhaged again. And the medical team at that point, because of the second hemorrhage, she died. So the baby died and the 16-year-old mother died, all because the doctors waited so long because they were afraid to terminate the pregnancy and afraid to interfere with, quote unquote, the right to live. Now, some anti-choice or pro-life people will say that this is the way it should be. And they push the idea that a woman that dying to try to continue a pregnancy is the most beautiful sacrifice that one could be made. And that's their interpretation. Some of these people say, well, if you die and you have a life in you, and if the mother dies, so be it. If you listen back to Todd Akin, his statement by saying, well, you know, we should punish the rapist, but leave the baby alone. Nowhere in his statement did he ever mention the mother. Nowhere in his statement did he ever talk about her concerns and what her life would be like carrying a child that's unintended. We're going to go to commercial break, and we'll come back with more about this topic.
Thank you for listening to Inside Information for Women on WVNJ. If you'd like to know more about your host, Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD, please visit her website, drthornton.com. That's DrThornton. On her website, Dr. Thornton shares valuable information and research on women's health issues. Plus, you can order your copy of her best-selling books and find out about upcoming speaking engagements and media appearances. While you're there, be sure to click the link for Dr. Thornton's blog, Paging Dr. Thornton. And remember, if you miss a program or you'd like to hear a show again, you can request a copy from Dr. Thornton at her website. That's drthornton.com. DocTorThornton.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like fish sticks. Filets, I get, but sticks? Maybe we can just compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with Brie?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Yvonne Thornton, your host for Inside Information for Women, is also the national best-selling author of the critically acclaimed memoir, The Ditch Digger's Daughters. The Ditch Digger's Daughters, a family biography co-authored by Joe Kuder, is a tribute to Dr. Thornton's parents that follows her journey from the tenements of East Harlem to the footlights of the Apollo Theater to the halls of an Ivy League medical school. Since first being published in 1995, The Ditch Digger's Daughters has been featured on The Oprah Winfrey Show, translated into 19 languages, and made into an award-winning movie. The New York Times calls it inspirational. The Washington Post says the book serves as a corrective to those who have underestimated the strength of the values that have historically enabled black families to survive and even thrive. And the Wall Street Journal says Dr. Thornton's story shows that a family that stays together, that holds fast to traditional values, can make a quantum leap up the social mobility scale in a single generation. You can purchase The Ditch Digger's Daughters on Amazon.com. And be sure to look for Dr. Thornton's newest memoir, Something to Prove, which continues Dr. Thornton's journey as a doctor, wife, and mother who must face the challenges of a thriving medical career while managing a home and raising children. The Ditch Digger's Daughters and Something to Prove, available now on Amazon.com. This is Inside Information for Women with Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD. If you've got a question or comment for Dr. Thornton, you can call her now toll-free 1-800-962-1160. That's 1-800-962-1160. Now, back to your host. Here's Dr. Thornton.
Welcome back to a serious topic today, sensitive but serious. We're talking about women's reproductive rights, abortion, rape, and the legislative insidious ways that people are trying to take that right away, that choice from a woman who has the ultimate responsibility of bringing life into this world. The H.R. 3 bill, this is the third bill, H.R., House of Representatives bill, the third bill that was put forth to be voted upon. Now remember, this Congress, which is Republican controlled, it's important that they have other they don't have other things to do. This is the third bill. We're talking about an anti-abortion bill. Why couldn't it be about roads? Why couldn't it be about education? But no, you know, they want to sublimate women. And so again, it's an anti-abortion bill. Well, the anti-abortion bill, it stated, is the tax-funded, no tax funding for abortions. You say, well, that sounds okay. But this H.R. 3 bill, at a closer look, it was marketed to the public as a common-sense ban on taxpayer-funded abortions. But it actually reveals an aggressive, multi-pronged effort to restrict insurance coverage for and reduce access to abortion, access to a woman's right to choose. In this H.R. 3 bill, known as No Taxpayer Funding for Abortions Act, this would go beyond making the Hyde Amendment. There is a Hyde Amendment. For those of you who don't know about the Hyde Amendment, it's already banning federally funded abortions in the past 30 years. So there's already federally funded a banning of federally funded abortions for the past 30 years. It's a permanent federal law. But this new legislation was sponsored by representatives, a Republican from New Jersey, Chris Smith, and the Speaker of the House, Speaker John Boehner, a Republican of Ohio. And this would enact strict procedural requirements for private insurance companies that cover abortions and deny tax credits to small businesses that purchase health insurance plans offering abortion coverage. Would you believe that? They would deny tax credits to small businesses that purchase health insurance plans that offer abortion coverage. And, you know, 87% of private insurance plans currently include abortion coverage. Furthermore, this HR, the sneaky HR Bill 3, would eliminate privately funded insurance coverage for abortion in state-based exchanges set up by, as they call Obamacare, by the Affordable Care Act. Now, there is 13.5 million women who receive health coverage through Medicaid and other government-sponsored programs. And these 13.5 million women would permanently lose access to abortion coverage if this bill were signed into law. Just remember that. If this bill were signed into law, almost 14 million women would be denied access. So, but the original bill allowed for federal funding for abortions only for in the case of forcible rape. And Paul Ryan had that terminology there, but then it was removed. And even though the bill masqueraded itself as no taxpayer funding for abortion, but clearly that it wasn't what it's all about, it is about preventing women from accessing abortion, a constitutionally protected right and a legal medical procedure. Remember, abortion is constitutional. Abortion is a legal medical procedure. How one uses it is up to the individual. But yet this legislation wanted to deny that. And the bill had 227 co-sponsors. The sad thing about it is it passed. It passed in the House of Representatives. 235 Republicans voted yes for this bill. 16 Democrats, all men, voted for this bill. 175 congresspeople did not vote for the bill. Not one of them was a Republican. And this is important, women. You need to vote. That lets us as an aside. Get out there and vote, because this is what's happening. And it's below the radar, and they're going to take away your right, our rights, with regard to what we're going to do with our bodies. So, with respect to legislation, no taxpayer funding for abortion, and the Sanctity of Human Life Act, I just want to end the program with respect to my views on all of this. I am married for 38 years. I don't perform abortions, but let me tell you something. If a woman's life was at stake and she came to me and I was the only person that was skilled to do it, then I would do it. Then I would terminate that pregnancy to save her life. Because you can always have another baby. You can't have another wife. You can't have another sister. You can't have another daughter. Conservative thought is that sex should only be for procreation within the confines of marriage. And that's what the majority of people believe, that are conservative and pro-life. They believe that sex should only be for procreation within the confines of marriage. And this belief should also apply to women in menopause who can't procreate, and impotent and sterile men, right? It should apply to this. Yet, impotent men, they call it, ED, erectile dysfunction, but they're impotent. Yet, impotent men are using Viagra within and without the confines of marriage. Viagra is a choice. Men have a choice. They choose Viagra. They may choose. I mean, what if they said no? You just have to walk around here with erectile dysfunction. But men have a choice. Impotent men do not need to use Viagra, but they choose to. Men have a choice to be impotent or to be sexually active. A testament to the latter is that, you know, the annual revenue of Viagra is almost, I know you don't believe this, $2 billion a year. $2 billion a year. Meanwhile, with all those manufactured erections and the need to consummate the ultimate act of intimacy, that's what sex is, the ultimate act of intimacy. You know, they need a partner, folks. They need a partner for those manufactured erections. And women who get pregnant from those erections. Yet this partner, who has the ability to conceive, she doesn't have a choice, according to the pro-life people, according to the legislators. She doesn't have a choice. So women who get pregnant from these erections, according to the two previously mentioned House bills, aren't allowed birth control or abortion. There seems to be a disconnect because it is not about right to life. It's about sex, abortion, and complete domination of women. And those who cling to this idea of anti-choice really don't care about women's health or well-being. They only care about returning to the days when men were totally in control and women died in back alleys. And this is a shame. So let's talk about the comparison of risk in the next few minutes of the program. Comparison of risk. The risk of a woman's dying is 11 to 16 times greater if she delivers a baby at term and if she has a termination of, then if she has, if she's had a termination of pregnancy. So let's just get this straight. There's a 16 times chance greater of a woman dying if she takes a pregnancy to term compared to a woman who chooses not to continue with the pregnancy. It's shocking, but true. In 1972, before the Roe versus Wade decision, the mortality rate in women having an abortion was 4.1 per 100,000 women, while the maternal mortality rate, those women who decided to carry their pregnancies to term, was 19% per 100,000 women. That's 19 per 100,000 women, not 19%, but 19 per 100,000 women. Now, both these figures have gone down since 2000. And the concern that we have now is that it is still safer to have a legal abortion than to have a baby. I know it's confusing, but it's safer to have a legal abortion than to have a baby. And conversely, in countries where abortion is penalized, the maternal mortality rate is 330 per 100,000. So the lay public tends to believe that carrying a pregnancy to term is without risk, like I Love Lucy. It's without risk, assuming that no one dies in childbirth any more than that of an abortion. However, comparatively speaking, there are between 1 and 5 million deaths for every 500,000 abortions. So again, in ending this program today, and we're not mentioning leading cause of pregnancy-associated death homicide, the fact of the matter is that all women must have the right to control their own bodies and their own health. So I want to thank you for joining me this hour, for this very sensitive hour, and tuning in to this program, Inside Information for Women. And please join me again next Thursday afternoon between 1 and 2. On Thursday, and we can share our views and our experiences. And in the meantime, you can visit my website, www.drthornton.com, or visit me on the blog, Paging Dr. Thornton. But as a physician, wife, and mother, remember, when it comes to you, you come first. Take care, and have a great day.
You've been listening to Inside Information for Women with Dr. Yvonne Thornton, MD, on 1160 WVNJ. If you have a question or comment for Dr. Thornton, you can contact her via her website, drthornton.com. That's D-O-C-T-O-R, drthornton.com. And be sure to join us again next Thursday at 1 p.m. for more Inside Information for Women on 1160 WVNJ.